He said, it is the man of God who defied the word of the Lord. The Lord has given him over to the lion, which has mauled him and killed him as the word of the Lord had warned him. Did I not start this message out by telling you that Jesus Christ warns us not to be worried and upset about many things? He says we could be weighed down by the flood of dissipation, drunkenness, and anxieties. And it doesn't just mean dissipation into sin, obvious sins. It doesn't just mean drunkenness with liquor, but drunkenness with fear, drunkenness with worry, anxieties, misinformation, all kinds of stuff, okay? We could defy the word of the Lord. What if God says, you remember all those fear-mongering videos you handed out? You were beating my servants. Sweetheart, what if God sees it like that? What if God sees people that are passing these videos around? Supposing you caused one of these children to stumble that was trying to walk in the way of personal obedience and personal relationship with the Lord, and you send a video to somebody that causes them to fall off of that path.
Isaiah 8, 11 through 12. The Lord spoke to me with his strong hand upon me, warning me not to follow the way of this people. He said, do not call conspiracy everything that these people call conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear. Do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. Many Christians passing around conspiracy theories may sincerely believe that they're doing what they believe is right in order to help friends or family members or other people in their Christian community. It may really appear they're doing something loving, and in fact, they may have no idea that they're actually being used like birds of prey, creating fear and anxiety that may distract someone from the purpose of God in their life or be an attempt of Satan to devour their faith or weigh down their heart so that they're not able to obey God and enter into whatever promise he may have for them. Let us please remember, Peter was convinced he was doing the right thing when he was trying to stop Jesus Christ from being betrayed. And Jesus had to look him square in the eye and say, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You do not have the things of God in mind, but the things of man. The following message is a private message I made to my wife, Lisa, on September 27th, 2021, to warn her and re-encourage and strengthen her faith at a time when some family members had been sharing with her some of these very conspiracy theories. Please take warning about this and really hit the pause button before you pass on the next so-called must-see conspiracy theory or some really sensational news clip, and ask God to show you if it's possible, rather than encouraging someone, enlightening someone, you may actually be being used to distract them or to weigh their heart down, thereby robbing God of his time in their life and his glory. May God bless you as you listen.
Oh, darling, I am so telling you that is one of the saddest messages I've heard from you. I felt such sadness listening to that message, sweetheart. I almost wondered if you were even crying at the end. Sweetheart, I had several thoughts about this, and I'd like to share them with you after I just tell you that, oh, sweetheart, my heart just felt so sad for you. It really did. I just felt so sad for you. I'm like, oh God, this woman needs her husband, Lord. I really did. I just kind of stepped outside of it for a minute, and I see you suffering. It's just a picture of suffering. Suffering want and suffering opposition to the promise and suffering discouragement and suffering distraction. And it's a woman who's got a promise from her God, and she's in mission to see it come to pass. And all these afflicting forces keep showing up. Exactly like Pilgrim's Progress. Hey, you should go this way. Hey, you should worry about this. Hey, you should be afraid of this. Hey, you should take the shortcut. It's always these distractions to try to get you off the path. And, oh, baby, I just felt such compassion for you. But I also just felt that you are such a picture of, I see again, the picture of the body of Christ in the end times. The bride of Christ is going to experience increasing anxieties and difficulties as the end times come upon. And it's not only that she's going to have to face those things, she's going to have to face perhaps even greater is all the anxieties about those things and the worries and the conspiracy theories and the wasted time and the fearfulness and the being spiritually handicapped by all the just the fear and the processing of what will happen. And so it's like, here you are, this picture of a lowly, humble bride. She's weak in all ways. And she's waiting for her husband. And she's in a world that's already difficult, just on its own, it's difficult sometimes. And now there's just this increase of end times anxieties and the world getting darker and darker that are pressing on her, and loved ones around her are trying to get her to pay attention to this and warn her, and they don't realize that she's on a mission, one-track mind, totally focused on waiting for her husband to come back. Those anxieties, they detract away from her ability to stay focused, and she's doing everything she can to keep her faith, believing that God has said that he's going to send Jesus back for her. She doesn't know when, but she believes, and she's got some hints about it, and things all around her are continuing to get more and more dark and trying to question her faith on whether or not Christ really will come back for her. Sweetheart, it is incredible. I see such a picture, sweetheart, of end times suffering of the bride of Christ through what you're going through right now. It really is remarkable. It's like, I don't even have to try. It just comes to me that you are a picture of the weak bride who has to wait for her husband. She has a promise from her God. She's thought that he was coming earlier and he didn't. And it's just increased the frustration and the discouragement. And as she continues to wait for another time and another time for him to come back, the difficulties around her begin to press in on her. Okay, now listen to this. Luke 21, starting in 29, he told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth. This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. He's talking about end times, right? When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Now, we're not there yet, okay? But we are aware. We are following the teaching of Christ. It's not a surprise that we are definitely closer and closer to what the Bible calls end times. Just so you know, I still believe it's a long way off. I still believe that things have got to get much, much, much worse. And the worst thing you're going to experience as a Christian right now is the anxieties and all the constant false assumptions that are going to happen. And, you know, so there's just so many, there's constantly these new things that pop up. So for example, 30 years ago, my then father-in-law had one of his best friends who worked for a company called Motorola. Perhaps you may have heard their name. They were very popular in the cell phone business in the very beginning. And he, 30 years ago, knew that Motorola was working on a type of microchip that could be planted underneath of the skin for the purposes of like medical records, identification, and all that kind of stuff. And so his friend realized and thought, you know, that's the mark of the beast, and he quit his job. That was 30 years ago, and nothing ever came of that. And as you can see, there's just constantly these new things that pop up that people are always saying, you know, like if you were to look and see how many people had a dream that Obama was the Antichrist, I mean, there was people on YouTube all the time saying, I had a dream. God showed me Obama is the Antichrist. And there's just one thing after another after another. And it's always been this way. It's always been this way that people thought Hitler was the Antichrist. And people keep thinking and they keep thinking this next thing. And it just keeps going on. And it just makes men into fools. They keep guessing wrong. And God just keeps drawing it out and drawing it out. I mean, sweetheart, this has been going on for literally thousands of years. They thought the end was going to come. You know, the early disciples, Paul even thought it was very possible that it would happen in his lifetime. So they've been thinking this for thousands of years. No doubt the day is going to come. We don't be naive about it. But I really, as a man who knows, if you will, perhaps more than the average, the heart of God, and I've spent so much time in the Word of God, and I see how God delays, and I see how God does these things, and et cetera, et cetera. And I know how God has worked with me. And I know that the Lord has shown me Martha, Martha, you know, when I was worried about these things for other people, he's saying, do not be worried and upset about these things. Okay, so listen to this. I'm making a point here. So you and I are being careful. We see that we're not naive, that things are heating up out there, right? But I'm going to share with you something that completely contradicts the approach that people like and most Christians are headed down. I'm going to show you why we are exempt from this biblically. Okay, but first I want to show you this. In verse 34 of Luke 21, he says, be careful or your hearts will be weighed down. Okay, be careful or your hearts will be weighed down. What is doing but weighing her heart down and weighing this? And they might go, no, Michael, this is important. This is a warning, right? Okay, I'm going to get to the point where I'll show you how this is not legit. But your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the anxieties of life. One could say you could be weighed down with drunkenness of worry, not just literal alcoholism, but you could be drunk on intoxicated on conspiracy theories. You could be intoxicated by the darkness and addicted to the terrible news that YouTube puts out or your news channel. I mean, you literally could be, if you will, drunk on that because you're not sober. You're not thinking about things spiritually or from the way God thinks about them. Instead, you are essentially drunk on the brain chemicals of fear. Do you see this? You can be drunk in more ways than just through alcohol. Anything that inebriates you, anything that causes you to not to be able to think clearly. When the Bible speaks of be sober-minded, it does not say, it's not saying put the alcohol down. Be sober-minded. It means to think logically, rationally, clearly, level-headedly. Don't be off in the clouds and fantasy land. Don't be down in the dumps in Fearville. You understand how you can be drunk and not sober of mind in many ways, not just by taking alcohol, right? Okay. So he says, drunkenness, be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. You know something? That day is going to close unexpectedly like a trap on people who are studying that day was going to close in on people like a trap. It is going to happen. There will be people, I've often said, who will be sitting watching YouTube videos, studying about the end times when Christ comes back and it's too late for them. And they missed. They were so close, as Jesus said to Nicodemus, you are not far from the kingdom of God. Maybe they were close and they missed it. Okay, now let me tell you where the exemption to this comes from. The exemption was first taught by Jesus Christ, where Martha is worried and upset about all these things, right? We've talked about this many times. So I'm just trying to give you what I see the basis of why you can continue to be ignorant of all the world's fearful thoughts and conspiracy theories. Even if they're true, why you can do that. Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. Now just think about this. But only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what to think about, if you will, what to focus on, what to spend her time doing, which is better. And it will not be taken away from her. This is not Jesus talking about the silliness of all these never-ending conspiracy theories or fear-mongering that goes on YouTube. He's not saying, oh, you silly YouTuber. He's saying this to her about a lady who's doing legitimate, needed, responsible things around the home. How much more would he say this? This is where my point is. How much more would he say this to those of us who are constantly wasting hundreds of hours of our time going through this conspiracy theory, that conspiracy theory, this man's opinion, that man's opinion? How much more would he say, Martha, Martha, worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed? Michael and Lisa have chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from them. Okay, now, think about this, sweetheart. Okay, so there's the words of Jesus Christ. And he said, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. He said, trust in God. He said, do not let your hearts be afraid. Do not be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Jesus was always talking about, don't be afraid. Don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, what you'll wear. The pagans run after these things. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough troubles of its own. Does he then come and say, except when we get close to the end times and the mark of the beast comes out, then you really need to be worried and upset about all kinds of things? No, he doesn't say that. There's never a good time to be worried and upset. There's always a good time in the face of things that can worry and upset you to have faith in God. Trust in God. Do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. These are the words of Jesus Christ. Okay, so we don't have to worry about the mark of the beast. We don't have to worry about Antichrist. When the day comes for us to have to face, we'll face. When we have to suffer for him, we'll suffer for him. And God will give us grace and he'll get us through and he'll all that. Think of a king who has servants. And think that there are some very difficult, anxious times going on in this king's kingdom. The people are having all kinds of problems. And there's a sense of uproar amongst the commoners. Okay? So things are not tidy. And you are the king's servant. And the king sends you on missions. He tells you to do things. Like, I want you to get on horseback, and I want you to ride and deliver this jar of honey to my friend in the kingdom next door. Or I want you to take this bucket and go fill it up with this water from this one spring and bring it back, you know, to me and my council. Whatever, just whatever. He's got something for you to do. Okay, so now you leave the king's presence and you're like, yes, sir, we're going to go do this. You leave the king's presence. You're his servant. Okay, but suddenly you have to pass through the lay people in order to go get to your horse. And the people grab onto you. Haven't you seen what's going on around here? Don't you know? Haven't you heard about this and so forth? And don't you see all the hoopla and all the craziness that's going on? And suddenly the anxieties, whatever it is, of the commoners and their concerns are distracting you away from the king's specific orders to you. Now, I just ask you, put yourself in this situation. If the king has given you a specific personal direct order, and en route to doing that, somebody else finds something that they think is more important for you to spend your time on, for you to be worried about, for you to take the time of, how do you think the king would feel if he saw that he sent you on an urgent mission, told you to stay focused? In fact, when he told you, he says, you know, exactly like what Elisha told Gehazi. He says, take my staff, go and put it on the boy's face. And you know what Elisha said? He said, if you meet anyone along the way, do not greet them. Do not greet them. Stay focused. And you see here, this is the principle. There's an urgency. Now, supposing Gehazi says, hey, man, I haven't talked to you in a long time. And he runs into somebody and somebody wants to trouble him about the things that are going on in their village. Elisha, his Lord, told him, go. And if anyone greets you, do not talk to them. I also think of, sweetheart, the old prophet and the young prophet in 1 Kings, I think it's either 13 or 18. So baby, I'm going to read this story to you from 1 Kings 13. The main point that I want you to see is that you and I have been given, this is what and what people like would need to understand, is that we have received specific orders. This would be your answer to them. And I understand that you're concerned, and I know that these things are very disturbing to you, but I ask you to respect the fact that Michael and I have received a specific command from God. We have marching orders. We have something very specific that he's asked us to do. And anything that would distract us away from doing what the king has asked us to do would be for us to fall into insubordination, or rather to dishonor and disobey the king. So if you need to worry about these things, I encourage you to worry about them. We have got specific orders that we've asked, that God has asked us to do, and we are going to focus on that mission. That's it. Sweetheart, that is exactly what we have to do. That's the picture of the king who sends his servant off, and he has to go through the lay people to get to his horse, and all the people are wanting to trouble him. And what you see in that scene is that that man is being distracted away from doing what the king asked him to do. I'm not saying that the worries of the people are not legit, but that should be absolutely, that doesn't matter. All that matters is we obey. This is where obedience trumps everything. There was a story of a Roman soldier who was a pagan, who was warned, you know, if you go on this mission, you will die. And the Roman soldier, it's in streams. He said, it is not necessary that I live, only necessary that I obey. Think about that. A Roman soldier, when told about how dangerous his mission would be, said, it is not necessary that I live, it is only necessary that I obey. If a pagan should say that, how much more should I? Sweetheart, this is a test. These kind of things test us. We are on mission. Maybe we have specific marching orders to keep the faith. God has not asked us to worry about what's going on in the end times. When I tried to do this, the Lord shut me down. You could also answer, you know something? 2 years ago when COVID came out and Black Lives Matter, it looked like the world was falling apart on everybody. Michael wanted to really encourage and warn people, and God told him not to. God told him to stay focused on doing what he asked him to do. You could leave it at that. And we are going to continue to do that. We're on mission. Sweetheart, when you are not a servant of the Lord and you don't have a mission, when you're not knowing the Lord and you're not hearing him and doing whatever it is he asks you to do, whether it's, I want you to go chop that tree down and turn it into a bunch of pencils. But Lord, the end times. I want you to go pick a bunch of oranges and make orange juice. But Lord, it's the end times. I want you to sell everything you have, send the tiny house over and marry that beautiful woman that I've got for you over in New Zealand. But Lord, we're in the end times. You see, if you're on a mission from God, sweetheart, if you've heard from him, if you can hear from him, if you're obeying him, you're in the safest place in the whole universe. If God tells you to go across the lake and a terrible storm comes, you continue to do, you don't bail when you see the storm and run the other way. You don't listen to the people saying, why are you guys going out there? Don't you know a storm's coming? No, you just obey. And Jesus will meet you in the way. He will not fall asleep in that boat long enough to where you sink. So, honey, these type of things are a test for us. It's a picture of the only way to get through the end times is to have strong focus and faith on Jesus, not to have a strong intellect or knowledge base about the agenda of the Antichrist. You don't get to heaven by knowing everything about Antichrist. You get to heaven by knowing everything about Jesus. You don't get to heaven by avoiding Antichrist schemes. You get to heaven by obeying Jesus Christ. It's a totally different focus. You have to focus on the faith. It is faith that will get us through to the end, not being in the know. I mean, how could you possibly be in the know about all the schemes of the devil and Antichrist? Jesus never said you needed to do that. He just said, look, when you start seeing the earthquakes and pestilences and all that, he never mentions when you see the mark of the beast. He never mentions that. That doesn't even come up until the book of Revelation, that the Antichrist caused all those living on the earth to receive a mark on their forehead or on their right hand. I can see clearly, sweetheart. I don't have to sit and watch a bunch of YouTube videos. If you know what's going on, I told you this the other day, you can see clearly that this vaccine thing is a precursor to something like a mark of the beast. No doubt about it. But it's I have no reason to believe whatsoever that this vaccine is the actual mark of the beast. Not at all. Not even close. But no doubt that it can be seen as a type of a precursor, to a warm-up, if you will, for one day for everybody to receive a medical chip, for everybody to receive some sort of a device, or everybody to receive some. There's no doubt about it that it's a precursor. But that could be 20 years down the road. What in the world is good does it do to be worrying about it today? It doesn't. It just distracts you away from the mission that God has asked you. Take this jar of honey, deliver it to my friend the king over in the next kingdom. Whatever mission he has for you. This is where you have to take the kingdom of heaven by force and stay focused on the kingdom of heaven by force and resist. So many people would argue against what I'm saying. Man, this guy is naive. He doesn't have any idea. I mean, Jesus said you have to see these things and take warning. You got to warn other people and you got to be ready and you need to be looking at these things. And you know what I would say to the reply? I would say, you know something? If I wasn't so busy obeying my Lord's commands and if I wasn't so busy hearing from him and doing his mission for me, then yeah, maybe I would have the time to sit around and worry about all these other things that all the godless people and the people that don't know him do. But I'm on mission from God, and it would be disobedient. And not only that, it would be just plain foolish for me to reject the personal service that the king has elected for me, to go worry about all the things that the commoners are worrying about, to go become a Martha when I can be a Mary. As disrespectful as that sounds, honey, that's the stance that we have to take. We don't have to look down on other people. We can just say, look, we're on mission from God. We tried to warn people 2 years ago, and God said, Martha, Martha, worried and upset about many things. Only one thing is needed. And in that 2 years, what has God done? He's kept me on a specific mission that is feeding the lives of thousands of people, feeding the hearts, the spirituality, the faith. I just got a message from a lady in England yesterday, 2 days ago. Michael, your messages are still so feeding to me. A couple of years later, this has been such a blessing to me. Well, that's too bad. You know, Leela, I'm so sorry. That's just an accident. Really, I'm supposed to be worried and upset about many things. And I'm supposed to be teaching end times and not worrying about your personal need to try to keep Jesus front and center in your heart, or really trying to encourage you for your personal faith to keep hoping and believing to overcome the persecution that you're facing. I really should have taken the time to be all worried and upset about this stupid needle and the mark of the beast and Black Lives Matter and the COVID-19 conspiracy theories and all that. And I've really done you a disservice. I'm sorry that you're really having some personal faith and strengthening and encouragement to continue on personally with the Lord. I really should have been more about all the global matters and should have been warning you about all these things and getting you worried and upset about things. I want to apologize to you. That was really just an accident that you're being still encouraged personally in your faith by my personal testimony of how I'm personally hearing from and personally walking with the Lord, because these things just don't matter in the end times. What matters is the Antichrist. Jesus and his plan and his will, you obeying him and hearing him, that doesn't really matter in the end times. What really matters, who's king in the end times, is Antichrist. What is the most important thing, Leela, is paying attention and almost revering and glorifying Antichrist's agenda. And really being in the know and really trying to discern and know what all of his different agendas are, and listening to all the people that don't even know what they're talking about also, most of them, but just listening to them and being excited and conjecturing about how it will be that Antichrist will come and how it will be that he will lead me astray and how it will be that, you know, what will be these things. I mean, this is what we're supposed to be worried about, you know, not focusing on Jesus. Not listening to our shepherd and hearing his voice, John 8:47 and John 10, and doing what he says. We're supposed to be worried and upset about all the things that the Antichrist is going to do. You know, Jesus knew that this day was going to come and that we were no longer going to be able to focus on him, that we were no longer going to be able to really do anything except for just to cry out to him for God help us from this unbelievably huge lion Antichrist. Jesus knew that he was going to have to take a backseat to Antichrist, that in our hearts, we would no longer have the capacity to pray to him and think upon him and to hear his words and to obey him, and that we would no longer be able to do his will in our life, and we would no longer be able to be fruitful. He knew, you know, that we were going to have to put him in the back seat and put Antichrist in the front seat, and that we would have to glorify Antichrist. So I want you to know that I'm really sorry that I'm still following Jesus, that I'm still hearing his plan for my life, that he still is on his throne, that he's not worried and upset about all the things that the people in the world worried or upset about. And I want you to know that I'm going to join you in that. And I'm really sorry that I failed you in this way. I hope I made a point. People that do not hear from God and are not on mission from him and are not being fruitful for him, they have no other choice. Okay, so what I want to do is I want to read a story to you in 1 Kings 13 that the Lord showed me many years ago, back in the day when my mom was really convinced that there was something seriously wrong with me. And the Lord had this. Think about how this applies to what happened with your sweetheart. This is a perfect match. You can even see this in my Bible. You can turn to 1 Kings 13 and see the story. I marked this in my Bible about what happened with my mother. It's in my Bible that you have. I want you to see how this applies. I'm going to just read the whole story to you and then I'm going to explain it. And this is exactly what we're going through right now. By the word of the Lord, a man of God came from Judah to Bethel. So here he is, a man who's been sent by God. Think of the king sending his servant, right? As Jeroboam was standing, which was a king, by the altar to make an offering, he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord. Oh, altar, altar, this is what the Lord says. A son named Josiah will be born to the house of David. On you, this altar, he will sacrifice the priests of the high places who now make offerings here. And human bones will be burned on you. That same day, the man of God gave a sign. This is the sign the Lord has declared. The altar will be split apart and the ashes on it will be poured out. When King Jeroboam heard what the man of God cried out against the altar at Bethel, he stretched out his hand from the altar and said, "Seize him!" But the hand he stretched out toward the man shriveled up, so he could not pull it back. Also, the altar was split apart and its ashes poured out according to the sign given by the man of God by the word of the Lord. Then the king said to the man of God, "Intercede with the Lord your God and pray for me that my hand may be restored." So the man of God interceded with the Lord. See, he repented. The man of God interceded with the Lord and the king's hand was restored and became as it was before. And the king said to the man of God, "Come home with me and have something to eat, and I will give you a gift." Now, this is the part of the story I want you to start paying attention to. So he's repented. This sounds like everything's going well. Everything's wonderful. The king has repented. And he says, "Please, you know, come home with me so that I may give you something to eat and give you a gift." But the man of God answered the king, "Even if you were to give me half your possessions, I would not go with you, nor would I eat bread or drink water here. For I was commanded by the word of the Lord, you must not eat bread or drink water or return by the way you came." So he took another road and did not return by the way he had come to Bethel. So you can see here, he rejects even something good because the Lord commanded him. Well, it's not, he's not rejecting a YouTube conspiracy party about end times and Mark of the Beast. He's rejecting something good. Why? He obeyed God. Now listen to what happens. Okay. Now there was a certain old prophet living in Bethel. So this is the way he took it. It says he took another road that did not return by the way he had come to Bethel. Now there was a certain old prophet living in Bethel whose sons came and told him all that the man of God had done there that day. They also told their father what he had said to the king. Their father asked them, "Which way did he go?" And his sons showed him which road the man of God from Judah had taken. So he said to his sons, "Saddle the donkey for me." And when they had saddled the donkey for him, he mounted it and rode after the man of God. He found him sitting under an oak tree and asked, "Are you the man of God who came from Judah?" I am, he replied. So the prophet said to him, come home with me and eat. Okay. Instead of saying, come home with me and eat, I want you to hear, go home and click this link and watch this video. Go home and join with me and getting worried and upset about all these things. Okay, think about that, all right? The man of God said, I cannot turn back and go with you, nor can I eat bread or drink water with you in this place. I have been told by the word of the Lord, you must not eat bread or drink water there or return by the way you came. He's staying steadfast in his obedience. The old prophet answered, I too am a prophet as you are. And an angel said to me by the word of the Lord, bring him back with you to your house so that he may eat bread and drink water. But he was lying to him. Here's a prophet lying to another prophet. So the man of God returned with him and ate and drank in his house. While they were sitting at the table, so think of the people who come along and say, no, the Lord told me to warn. I'm a prophet. The Lord told me this is going to be the mark of the beast. The Lord told me Obama's going to be Antichrist. The Lord told me Donald Trump's going to have two consecutive terms and we need to fight against this. The Lord told me Black Lives Matter means this. The Lord told me mark of the beast and the vaccine is this. The Lord told me. Okay, think about how this applies. You and I have been told, be very careful to obey all that I command you today. You see this? Be very careful to obey me. What is that? To have faith, to stay focused, to go into this land. God has a land for you and I. He has a promise for you and I. And all these people come and claim to be prophets on YouTube. The Lord told me. The Lord told me you should come and watch my video. The Lord told me the world is going to end in 7 days and you need to get ready. The Lord told me. And it's all these false prophets coming to you when you've been told, don't be worried and upset about many things. Stay focused and do what I've asked you to do. And suddenly, but the Lord told me you need to focus on what I'm telling you need to focus on. You need to be worried and upset about what the Lord told me you need to be worried and upset about. You see this? You see how this applies? Sweetheart, this happened to me. My parents, I've been praying. My parents came to me and they said, Michael, I think the Lord told me that we need to pray. I really believe the Lord, the Holy Spirit just told me we need to pray about this as a family regarding, you know, it had something to do with me going to court without an attorney or regarding me being getting ready to be homeless or if I was really hearing from the Lord. The Holy Spirit just told me, Michael, that we should pray as a family and really ask the Lord to confirm if this is what he's speaking to you. God had already spoken to me. For me to confer with my mom who says that God just told her, the woman who doesn't even have faith, her own delusions of her mind told her this. God told me, the Holy Spirit told me, we should pray as a family to see really if God is speaking to you. And it was because I was going to face some, you know, terrible consequence if I hadn't heard from God, like jail or I don't know what it was. I don't remember the subject matter at this time. And I had just read that passage. And I said, oh my goodness gracious, look at this. Now hold on, you haven't heard what happens yet. I said, this is my mother being used to test me. And I said, Mom, I will not pray with you. I told my parents, I said, I will not pray with you. For me to do so would be to disobey God. I have already heard from God. I don't need to go back into prayer. Do you know, for me to do that would have been to cast doubt on the Lord. It would have been to subordinate my relationship with God to that with my mother who was godless. Well, Lord, yeah, I mean, my mom, she comes along, she's my mom. I'm supposed to obey her and it's a family and I'm in her house. And I mean, what's wrong with me just going back and getting some more confirmation? I had already heard from God. It would have been to show God contempt. It would have been to consult flesh and blood after I've already heard from the Lord, which Paul says he did not do. I did not consult flesh and blood. You see, Satan was setting me up, so I rejected it. Now listen to what happens to this guy. So he's lying to him. So the man of God returned with him and ate and drank in his house. You could think about it. So, you know, Lisa went and watched the YouTube video. Michael and Lisa went and joined in on the conspiracy theories and went and looked at and started worried and upset about all these things, okay? While they were sitting at the table, the word of the Lord came to the old prophet who had brought him back. He cried out to the man of God who had come from Judah. This is what the Lord says. You have defied the word of the Lord. You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. You came back and ate bread and drank water in the place where he told you not to eat and drink. For me to go and start watching conspiracy theories and learning about Antichrist crap and agenda and watching vaccine videos would be for me to go back to the place 2 years ago God told me not to go. You don't understand, sweetheart. I had such a burden in my heart for all these Christians who were spreading around all these lies and watching this video and that video and getting all upset. And I said, God, surely you want me to do a video and make a message to people about this. Surely you want me to address these things or study them or put some focus on or make some videos about it. And God said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset. Honey, not only did God not allow me to worry about it myself, he wasn't even allowing me to talk about the subject to other people. I wanted to put out a bunch of videos about this. He wouldn't even allow me to do it. But suddenly, 2 years later, comes along as somebody who's really throwing herself into this and feeling perhaps like, you know, this is what the Lord's purpose is for her. And she's getting all this insight and it's her responsibility to save the family. And she comes along and tells you, now being made one flesh with me, I do not give you permission to watch that stuff. If you want to make this really easy, Michael is your head, and Michael and I have a command from God. We are now one, and God has commanded us not to be concerned with these things. We're not to go to that man's house and eat. Because when you go to that YouTube video, you're eating. You're eating something. You're feeding your mind. You're feeding your heart. You're feeding your soul something. Okay, so listen to this. You came back and ate bread and drank water in the place where he told you not to eat or drink. Therefore, your body will not be buried in the tomb of your fathers. When the man of God had finished eating and drinking, the prophet who had brought him back saddled his donkey for him. As he went on his way, a lion met him on the road and killed him. And his body was thrown down on the road, with both the donkey and the lion standing beside it. Sweetheart, the guy was told by a man of God, just come to my house and eat. He didn't go to the guy's house and watch pornography. He didn't go sleep with a prostitute. He didn't go get drunk. He went and had a meal with a prophet. He didn't go watch a bunch of YouTube conspiracy videos. He went and had a meal, something he can't live without. As he went on his way, a lion met him on the road and killed him. And his body was thrown down on the road with both the donkey and the lion standing beside it. Some people who passed by saw the body thrown down there with the lion standing beside the body, and they went and reported it in the city where the old prophet lived. When the prophet who had brought him back from his journey heard of it, he said, "It is the man of God who defied the word of the Lord. The Lord has given him over to the lion, which has mauled him and killed him as the word of the Lord had warned him." Did I not start this message out by telling you that Jesus Christ warns us not to be worried and upset about many things? He says we could be weighed down by the flood of dissipation, drunkenness, and anxieties. And it doesn't just mean dissipation into sin, obvious sins. It doesn't just mean drunkenness with liquor, but drunkenness with fear, drunkenness with worry, anxieties, misinformation, all kinds of stuff. Okay? We could defy the word of the Lord. You see this, honey? This is why we have to do. This is why we have to reject. This is why that lady came to my website one day and she goes, "Oh man, all this personal stuff doesn't even matter. What matters is that Israel is at war right now. And this is end times. That's what matters. This stuff doesn't matter." And you know something? In my natural self, I have a tendency to agree with her. I've said to the Lord, "Father, why would you be wanting me to just continue to tell the story of all that you've done in my life in the face of global epidemic of worries and upsets and fears and crazy things legitimate that are going on? Why would you continue to want me to focus on telling my story?" I was able to, with human reasoning, say, "This doesn't make sense." But you know what, honey? I didn't disobey. I just said, "Okay, Lord, I'm just going to continue to do what you've asked me to do." And baby, I had to put myself down. I wanted so bad to start doing videos about this and messages about this, and the Lord would not allow me. What was I to do? Disobey? Because no, Lord, this is not as important. My little stupid, insignificant life. And yet, had I had any idea that I'd be standing here where almost every time you mention some part of the struggle that we're going through, I continue to see a picture-perfect image of the body of Christ patiently waiting and enduring through suffering and long periods of waiting for the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, to come back. And I continue to see illustrations of how much Jesus Christ loves his church and how much Jesus Christ wants the bride to love him. And I continue to see what is the most important, a focus on Jesus Christ and his coming and our persevering through his love, knowing that he is going to come, not a focus on the Antichrist and the agenda and all the things that are falling apart. This is what the Lord has taught me in the last 2 years, is to make absolutely certain that I do what he asks me to do and to stay focused. And I now have learned that through experience, and I'm forcefully obeying it. And you're going to join me in that, sweetheart. And I've been telling you, it's very possible, sweetheart, we end up losing you. They'll end up, perhaps, they may end up thinking that this is all because of me, that you're becoming like this, and they may end up just going further and further in that, and we're not going to go with them, sweetheart. If they want to go into this land of anxiety or this, and be worried and upset and constantly be focused on these things, go for it. You and I are going to stay busy doing the work God has asked us to do. This is what the most important end times teaching is in the entire Bible, is Luke 12:42. Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? Honey, that's what we're doing right now. God is having me feed his people through all these years in this ministry, right? We are one of these wise managers. It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Not, oh Lord, we stopped feeding the people because we wanted to really make sure that the people glorified and honored all the glorious works of the Antichrist and they were in awe of him. I'm not saying that people would ever agree with what I'm saying right now. I'm not saying that they would agree they're glorifying him, and I'm not even making that the main focus. I'm making the main focus. But what I'm saying is conjecturing about end time stuff is not giving the people their food allowance at the proper time. It is calling people to be a Martha, not a Mary. You see this and you think you're doing right. There's no doubt there's people who read the Martha and Mary story and go, oh, I don't know, I'm kind of on Mary's, a Martha's side. And then you would know that your heart is not right with God and you need to repent and confess it and say, Lord, help me to see this from your perspective. That doesn't make human sense. You know, I mean, there's things that legitimately need to be done. But when Jesus is speaking to you, you have his voice and he has things to share to you personally, then you sit at his feet. This is the work of God, to believe the one he sent. Okay, so he says here, it will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, oh, my master is taking a long time in coming. And then he begins to beat the men servants and maid servants to eat and drink and get drunk. Now, Christians today would go, well, I'm good. I'm good. I'm not beating the men servants and maid servants and eating and drinking and getting drunk. What if it's not exactly interpreted the way you think it is? What if God says, you remember all those fear-mongering videos you handed out? You were beating my servants. Sweetheart, what if God sees it like that? What if God sees people that are passing these videos around? Supposing you cause one of these children to stumble that was trying to walk in the way of personal obedience and personal relationship with the Lord, and you send a video to somebody that causes them to fall off of that path. And literally they find themselves, I mean, sweetheart, when you hear that, do you look like you've been lifted up or beat down? What if God sees this more of you beating the other servants down because you're passing around this? And then they get fearful and they get worried and upset. And you look at them and God would say, you just beat them down. You didn't do it maybe physically with your fists. You did it with your keyboard. And you did it thinking that you were doing something good to them. And Jesus would say, you know something? I told the disciples that they would come when men do these things to you, will think that by their doing it, they are offering a service to God. Sweetheart, is that not what people who are passing around all this information think they're doing? They think they are offering a service to God, and they don't realize what happened just yesterday is an attempt to get in the way of what God is doing, just like Peter getting in the way of what God was doing with Jesus. He thinks, man, we got to save our Lord. This is the right thing to do. Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You do not have the things of God in mind, but the things of man. Honey, even secularists, some of them can get caught up in all this conspiracy theory stuff and worried about the Antichrist government and all this kind of stuff. These are the things of man, not the things of God. I'm telling you, this is what I'm telling you is the truth. It sounds like somebody who's being naive. It sounds like somebody who doesn't know what they're talking about. It sounds like somebody who's gullible. It sounds like somebody who's, you're just afraid to look at the truth. Nope, I'm afraid to disobey God. Supposing I started passing around all these videos and was getting people all worried, upset, could God not say to me, look at this, how you beat down my servants? Sweetheart, imagine that. Imagine if she finds out she's guilty for passing things on to people that instead of making them want to hope more in God and hear his voice and obey his will and believe in him more and trust in him more, it causes them to be fearful, causes them to withdraw from Jesus Christ and causes them to go into this black hole of conspiracy theories and being worried and upset about many things. Would God not say to her, you passed around things that were horrible. You led my people. You beat them down in their spirits. Okay? Listen to what he says. Suppose the servant says to himself, my master has taken a long time in coming, and he then begins to beat the men servants and maid servants to eat and drink and get drunk on all kinds of conspiracy theories and fear-mongering, etc. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour he is not aware of. Listen to what happens to that servant. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. That servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. Honey, you know something? You know something that in verse 12:35, which the Lord says to me, be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. How is it keeping your lamp burning when you're watching all these damned conspiracy theory videos about Antichrist and getting yourself here? How is that keeping the flame of Jesus Christ and living by faith? How is that keeping that burning in your heart? I would ask that. What is the fruit of this? The fruit of it is it makes you constantly go farther and farther down the rabbit hole. Today is going to pass this video. Mark my words. Within 1 month, there'll be a different video from a different guy who's got a slightly different twist. You know, and you'll see things change so quick. My parents have been caught up in this for years. This guy says this about the war and this in the war in Israel. And I told that lady who sent that comment on my website, you shouldn't be worrying about your personal stuff. This stuff doesn't matter. What matters is Israel's at war. I said, give it 2 weeks. It'll be over. Honey, 2 weeks, it was over. You didn't hear anything more about Israel being at war with Hezbollah or whatever it was that was going on over there in the Golan Heights launching rockets. And I said, this has been going on for decades with these people. This doesn't mean Jesus is coming back next week. Get a grip. Live. I didn't say it like that, but I'm just saying get a grip. Sweetheart, this is the problem. People that don't know the Lord. You know, in Daniel, it says those who know the Lord will do great exploits in the end times. It doesn't say that those who know the Lord will pass around all kinds of conspiracy theories and who will be all caught up in the Antichrist dealings and worried about it. No, it says those who know the Lord will do exploits. Are we doing an exploit? Yes or no? We're being used in the hand of God to be fruitful in his hands while other people are beating down other people. Like imagine if you could see, she just beat down you in a way. And instead of thinking about things that are noble, excellent, praiseworthy, okay? On the way to see you, he's thinking about things that are horrible, fearful, terrible. Okay? What of that? What of that? Philippians 4:8. Think about watching those videos, sweetheart, and now think about this. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, anything is excellent or praiseworthy. Think about such things. Is there anything excellent or praiseworthy about YouTube videos and some guy's theory that the vaccine is the mark of the beast? Is there anything excellent or praiseworthy about that? It takes faith to obey this scripture. You have to trust that God will keep you through whatever hellish things the Antichrist brings, and that you don't have to be a doctor and get a PhD in end times theology in order to survive it. You just have to know the one who can lift you out of it at any moment. Baby, all of this is designed to distract you away from faith. Look at what happened as soon as we began to believe in faith. Sweetheart, even if the first comes and goes, so be it. Who cares? It doesn't matter. We haven't lost. I thought of Jesus this morning. I was listening to the story of Lazarus, and it says, you know, Lazarus had been dead 4 days, and I thought, oh Lord, we've only been dead 3 days. You know, I just had that thought. We've had 3 days, and so don't fear if it doesn't happen. Let's believe all the way to the end, but don't let yourself collapse. Let it be that God sees this time. Okay, Lord, the Lord's given, the Lord's taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Honey, you are a picture of that weak bride of Christ who doesn't have all the information, doesn't have all the intellect. She doesn't have all the resources. She doesn't even have a husband. The world is getting along fine around her, and people are talking about all these scary things, and they're in the know, and she's just this kind of weak, humble little woman going through. She's waiting for her Lord. She has faith, and she's hoping in him, and he's a long time in coming. She's waiting for him. And everybody around her wants to say, come on, be strong, learn about these things. Come on, focus on this, do this. And she's like, no, I just want my husband to come. Sweetheart, you are a picture of exactly what it's going to have to happen. Exactly of what's going to have to happen in the end times. There's going to be a remnant. Sweetheart, we're a part of the remnant. We are knowing the Lord. And he has a plan for our life, and we have to resist what everybody else thinks is important. We resist what they think is urgent. What is urgent to you and I, because we have his speaking voice, is to hear him and to obey. Father, help us. Help us, Lord God Almighty, to take lessons from that young prophet. He was given a command to stay on the straight and narrow and not to return and not to eat or drink with anybody along the way. And he disobeyed God. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, help us to remember whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. Our marriage is lovely. Our love is lovely. The picture of Jesus Christ and his bride inside this marriage is lovely. Our faith is lovely. Our faith and patience is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. God, we've been thinking about, and here, how have I not said, even in prayer last night, my heart is just filled with gratitude. Look at the difference between somebody like an Eve, and I'm not just picking on her, but I'm picking on people that are like that. Look at the difference between what was coming out of my mouth last night versus what's coming out of her mouth. My heart was overflowing with gratitude, a praise of thanksgiving to our God for what you have done, not that fire having been put out by the water of the fears of the world, or this conspiracy theory, or this Jack and this Jill over here, or whatever they're doing. No, my heart is overflowing with thanksgiving. God, may it be that we continue to think about these things that are excellent or praiseworthy, and think about such things. Father, help us to help my wife, God, to be ignorant, God Almighty, of all the worries of the world. Help both of us, Father, to remain steadfast and determined to not worry about what the things other good Christians are worried about. No, Lord, let them worry and upset. We want to be Marys all the way to the end, sitting at your feet, minding our own business, doing what you've asked us to do, giving our other servants their food allowance at the proper time, and not beating them down with either bad teachings, harmful things, God, but giving them, you know, reason to check their faith, no doubt, cutting out some of the false ground that they're standing on, but feeding them a story, a real testimony of faith. God, I see how important it is for you to have people that are obeying you and doing what you've asked them to do all the way to the end. God, let that be us. Let us always have something to trust you for in faith, God. The next thing is like land and a place to live. God, we want to always have faith. The only place that's pleasing to you is faith. And if we don't have some faith to be walking in, God, perhaps we will become one of these YouTube worry rats. We don't want to do that. No, God, we want to stay on the straight and narrow. And I want to thank you, Father, that you've given us your speaking voice. I want to thank you that you've given us a personal relationship. And God, I want to thank you that you've stretched us out. I want to thank you, Father, that we are doing a work. Even though we don't have each other, this is a work. For us to be believing you is a work. Right now, we are doing the good work. We are believing you, and we are hoping in you. Help us to do that all the way to the end, Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you. Amen. Baby, I hope this encourages you, sweetheart. I really do, darling. Oh, I made an hour-long message. I'm going to end it now, but maybe you should even listen to this again, honey, to really go back through and get these thoughts into your heart, sweetheart. I'm telling you, the Spirit bears witness to me, baby, that I'm right about this. His word to us. And that, sweetheart, when you're passing around all this other stuff, honey, you are actually beating your fellow servants. You're thinking you're helping them. You're beating them down. You see, it's not just a physical beating. I could beat somebody down. I could use the scripture to beat people down, sweetheart. How much more can I use nasty videos? All in the name of trying to warn people and get them prepared. We don't need the Antichrist is coming. Get right with Jesus warning. We need, as I've always stated, the car accident's coming. The heart attack is coming. The unthinkable accident is coming. Long before Antichrist is going to come, most people are going to die by natural means. The Antichrist has nothing for you. You are going to die. You're not even guaranteed that you can finish that video before you die. What are you going to do then? I mean, sweetheart, think about how foolish this is. In all reality, sweetheart is going to die before Antichrist shows up on this earth. That is most likely true. And you know something? People have believed that he was coming for hundreds of years. They were talking about this 100 years after. I mean, think about it. The scriptures are only 50 to 70 years old after Christ has come, and they're talking about Antichrist showing up. And you read the writings of the old, you know, the old things, they believed he was just around the corner. There's always been types of Antichrists, but not the ultimate Antichrist. Okay? But think about this. Think about how foolish it will be. Like all the thousands of people for 2,000 years, they will die having not ever seen the first second of the Antichrist. And yet how many hours did they waste thinking about it, talking about it, watching these videos about it, etc., etc.? Sweetheart, look at the people who are not walking in faith. Look at the people who are not hearing God's speaking voice. These are the people that have made this end times thing so important. Have you noticed this? Suddenly, is going to be right about thinking about the end times and the mark of the beast, but yet his behavior is not Christian, his walk is not Christian, his faith is not in faith. The same thing with notice how it's these people. It's always the people like my parents. They love this kind of stuff. And they're not hearing from God. And they're not living by faith. You see, this is a deception. Sweetheart, do you know that the Bible says that God is going to send such a powerful delusion on the world? All those who have not loved the truth will be deceived by it. This is part of it. It's all this. It's all this noise, all this distraction. God is allowing people to be deceived. Nope, we're not interested. So again, let me just end it by saying this. What is your answer? You could write it out if you want, or you can just say, Michael and I have heard from God about these subject matters, and he is telling us to stay focused on what he's asked us to do. That's all you'd have to say. And if they say, but you don't understand, you need to really be in the know. I mean, the Lord said to know. Michael and I have specific marching orders from the Lord, and we're staying focused to do on exactly what he's asked us to do. For us to go to a YouTube video would be for us to disobey. It's like what my parents used to say. They would ask me to fire the attorney or hire an attorney rather to hire the attorney. And they would ask me to do this. And I say, Mom, you're asking me to disobey God. I'm not going to do it. I have marching orders. What looked like to be naturally viable to them was disobedience to God. You should watch these videos. Thank you, but no thank you. We've heard from the Lord on this, and he's asked us to stay focused on what he's asked us to do. We're choosing to be Mary's, not Martha's. And he said he will not take it away from us. Okay, baby? May God bless you. I can't wait to talk to you. I'm going to end this message now so that I can save some time and talk to you. But I hope this encourages you. We're going to have to fight to stay focused. It's only going to get worse, sweetheart, because that kind of fear spreads like a virus and people want to give it to you. We are not interested in that. No, we're not going to look down on them. They've made their choice. If they want to follow our example, they can, but they will not until you know the Lord. If you know the Lord, this is the result. If you don't know the Lord, then you have to be worried and upset about many things. That's it. I love you, sweetheart. Love you so much. Bye. I can't wait to talk to you.